Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Central bankers are full of hubris and are serial prevaricators, which is a nice euphemism for liars. This is the natural result of having to pretend to have some special knowledge about the direction of inflation and the economy and what the cost of money and its supply should always be. Case in point, the Bank of Japan president, Kazuo Ueda, insisted over and over again at the Sintra conference in Portugal on June 28th that inflation in Japan was below 2%. I mean, he was asked what the inflation rate in Japan is, if he's happy where it is, and he said, well, it's below 2%. He insisted over and over again that was the case, despite the fact that official data releases from the government of Japan show CPI is up 3.2% year over year, wages are up 3.9% year over year, and the value of the nation's currency, the yen, has crashed almost 30% against the dollar since the start of 2021. Mr. Ueda is clearly not interested in the facts or truths, but that doesn't mean the problem goes away. Japan's economy has become completely addicted to massive yield curve suppression, the likes of which this globe has never seen. Whenever Ueda either chooses to or is forced to change its ridiculous yield curve control policy, it will be anything but a smooth transition. Yield curve control is the official policy of the Bank of Japan to keep long-term Japanese government bonds below 0.5%. Imagine pegging long-duration bonds at a half of 1% when CPI is up 3.2% year over year. That means that you're willing to lock in a negative real yield of 2.7%, and that only assumes that inflation isn't going to go higher, but how could it not go higher with the yen crashing and the Bank of Japan printing unlimited amounts of yen, which means your real yield is going to be falling throughout the duration of 10 years. That's why the only entity that is buying Japanese government bonds is the Bank of Japan. Now, if inflation keeps rising and or when the yen crash accelerates, which will be devastating for an export-driven economy, the BOJ will be forced to remove yield curve control. This will not only crash their economy as yields spiral higher, it will cause the yen carry trade to unwind, which will lead to global chaos. What is the yen carry trade? It is a favorite trade for the shadow banking sector, where they borrow, institutions borrow yen for next to nothing. You know, the interest rate there is, like I said, a half of 1% going out 10 years. There's no carry interest there. They sell the yen, which always depreciates, which is a great trade, and they buy risk assets across the globe with higher yields. That means they're collecting dividends and interest in a currency that is appreciating against the yen. And when they close out the trade, it's a huge win for these shadow banks. But if they had to cover that trade in a panic because yield curve control went away, then it would be an absolute wipeout. I mean, if the yen starts to rise, along with yields in Japan, it would force a panic unwind out of the yen carry trade, sending risk assets plunging worldwide. This is one of the conditions that is on my radar, and it will be monitored regularly. In other news, the Bureau of Economic Analysis announced its third revision to GDP last Thursday, one day after my last podcast to you. Economic growth was revised higher from 1.3% to 2%. I have never seen a third estimate of GDP jump that much in my 32 years, jump or decline that much in my 32 years of investing experience. I'll let you draw your own conclusions as to the accuracy of this third try to guess GDP. The rationale behind the higher estimate was because consumer spending, as gauged by the personal consumption expenditures, rose by 4.2%, and exports increased 7.8% after falling 3.7% in the fourth quarter of 2022. However, even if this higher estimate is accurate, growth has still slowed from 2.6% in the previous quarter. The 8.7% boost in the Social Security cost of living adjustment likely boosted the consumer spending numbers for Q1, but such an increase isn't going to repeat anytime soon. Therefore, what happened in Q1 is old news. Again, a temporary boost in government expenditures to make up for the inflation, and it was given to Social Security recipients. And we need to be much more focused on what data Q3 and Q4 will be. And it isn't going to be good at all. Not for the economic data and not for earnings. The perma bulls are claiming that the stock market and economy will remain strong because higher interest rates will not negatively affect consumers and businesses in the same manner as previous hiking cycles. And they say this because homeowners, and this is true, homeowners have locked in lower rates and businesses have locked in lower rates that were provided by the Fed in the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. They were very smart. They went out and took on a tremendous amount of debt and locked it in for a very long time. Hence, since, and this is their rationale, since there is no need to refinance mortgages or for businesses to tap the debt market, there will be very little negative impact to economic growth. In other words, there's no need for these mortgage holders to go out and say, oh, I have an adjustable rate mortgage and now it's got to be refinanced at a higher level. And businesses don't have to roll over this debt for the most part until 2024, 2025. Okay, I get that. But there, if we really look at it, their conclusion is hyper-derisible. Existing home sales, here's the proof. Existing home sales are down over 20% year over year. And pending home sales fell by 22% in May. And refinancing applications are down 32% year over year. Hence, while it is true that there is no great mortgage reset coming anytime soon because homeowners have locked in that low mortgage rate for years to come. That's true. And it's also a fact that real estate transactions are in a depression, along with the practice of refinancing mortgages. And I mean by refi, I mean refis are dead and buried because consumers are no longer able to take equity out of their homes while also enjoying a lower monthly payment, as has been the case for the past 40 years. Most of the past 40 years, since 1981, have a pretty steady decline in interest rates and to varying degrees, a huge run-up in home prices. Homeowners could just say, you know, I'm going to refinance my mortgage, get a lower interest rate, pay that much lower monthly payment, and take equity out of my house and use it for consumption. It was a huge tailwind for consumer spending. It was also the same for corporations. They can no longer pile on cheap debt, taking out huge amount of debt at close to nothing to buy back shares to make their PE ratio look lower or to expand on capital investment and hire people, grow their business. It was very easy to take on debt and do that. That's over with. That means the economy is very weak now and on the cusp of an official recession. While we're waiting for this great reset to happen, which is going to be devastating, it doesn't mean the economy is booming. It means it is weak and waxing towards recession. Earnings are already in a recession. We had two negative quarters back to back of negative earnings growth, and we're about to get a third quarter. That's going to only intensify. And that means the most overvalued equity market in history, since 2020, the market cap to GDP has never been higher, is in deep trouble. And that means the great reconciliation of asset prices isn't limited to equities. It is also inclusive of real estate, a real estate reset. Home prices soared by an unprecedented 45% in the 2 years following the outbreak of COVID-19. And that was thanks to $6 trillion worth of helicopter money, $5 trillion of which was monetized by the Fed directly. And thanks to that same Fed and Treasury largesse, we have a record high home price to income ratio. On top of, so homes are unaffordable, on top of a rising mortgage rate, which have served to put a freeze on existing home sales, which make up 89% of all residential real estate transactions. So no, the economy is not going to have a soft landing. By the way, that makes Jerome Powell officially a hypocrite. No, he doesn't care most about the citizens of the USA, not even on the 4th of July. He doesn't care about their cost of living, doesn't care about inflation. He cares mostly about Wall Street and banks. If he really cared more about Main Street than Wall Street, he would be, as I have said many times in the past, aggressively draining the balance sheet, which are bank reserves. Take away the gambling money from Wall Street. Instead of continuing to strangle consumers by raising interest rates and seeking a higher unemployment rate, wants to throw consumers on the unemployment line. He'd rather do that than just take away the gambling money from the casino. Here is what two honest, you know, I said that the Fed is a bunch of prevaricators. It's mostly true, especially with Powell. Especially true with Ueda in Japan. All of them, they're the same. But there are some honest people that work at the Fed. And here's what two of the honest people had to say about the coming wave of corporate refinancings. Quote, the share of non-financial firms in distress has reached a level that is higher today than during most previous tightening cycles since the 1970s. This paper was published on June 27th by Ander Perez Oriv and Yannick Timmer. They state that 37% of all firms are in trouble. I'll close with this. That's the Fed, by the way, not me. I'll close with this. Of course, our central bank is raising the cost of money at the fastest pace in history. They've threatened to do it two more times this year. The lagged effects of its 500 basis point in rate hikes that began from 0% 16 months ago are just now. Patience. Patience is needed. They're just now starting to impact the economy. The first of those rate hikes, which started from zero. Give it a few more quarters before the eye of the hurricane passes and the intensifying outer wall slams into the economy. Powell is also reducing the money supply at a record speed, QT. The number of banks tightening lending standards is at a recessionary level already, and that is rising. M2 money supply growth has crashed. Most of the developed world central banks have created these very same dynamics. That is the liquidity recipe for a stock market meltdown, not a soft landing. No economic soft landing. We here at Penta Portfolio Strategies will continue to collect dividends in the safest of bonds and the safest of equities until the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model gives us the signal to get net short once again like we were for a good portion of 2022. That signal went away. I covered all of my shorts. I have only one short, and that's high yield, 2%. That's it. And I have a small amount of an anti-beta ETF. That's all we have. We are not only we're not net short, we're not short anything directly in the stock market right now. It isn't time yet. But the 105 basis point inverted yield curve could not be more clear that the bear market bounce is quickly running out of time.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check. 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.